Let's hear from God's word this morning. So I'm telling you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you shouldn't live your life like the Gentiles anymore. They base their lives on pointless thinking, and they are in the dark in their reasoning. They are disconnected from God's life because of their ignorance and their closed hearts. They are people who lack all sense of right and wrong and who have turned themselves over to doing whatever feels good and to practicing every sort of corruption along with greed. But you didn't learn that sort of thing from Christ. Since you really listened to him and you were taught how the truth is in Jesus, change the former way of life that was part of the person you once were, corrupted by deceitful desires. Instead, renew the thinking of your mind by the Spirit and clothe yourself with the new person created according to God's image in justice and true holiness. The word of the Lord. Recently, I got a chance to go to Kansas to visit my one sister who lives there. And on one of our outings, I happened to be in the vehicle with my brother-in-law that was behind my sister's vehicle. And in that situation, I noticed her license plate. And I commented on how unfortunate that was to my brother-in-law. And so in Kansas, if you've ever been there, license plates in all states are a little different. In Kansas, it's three numbers and then three letters. And my brother-in-law agreed and kind of bemoaned the unfortunate plate, saying that when the woman handed it to them, they pushed it back and said, "No, please." And she said, "No, that's what you get. It's next on the pile." And so they walked away that day with a license plate that said 247FLU. 24/7 flu. Yeah, it took me a second too. I'm like, ooh, that's not great. And I chuckled at the thought that my sister with her elementary age kids struggling to get play dates because fellow parents assume that they're that family that's always sick, right? The petri dish of all the flu germs. And as I read this week's theme, which is the contagious life in our reading plan, if you're reading along with that, I struggled at the fact that usually, at least when I think of it, it's not a positive word. I think of things and associate it with illnesses or diseases that you try to limit the proximity towards it to avoid the infection from that person or thing, just like people might be avoiding my sister's vehicle. And the word contagious does infer that something is spreadable, but it doesn't have to always be negative. So there are other things in life that are contagious that aren't negative. Things like laughter, if you've ever been around somebody who starts laughing and you start laughing. Standing even can be contagious at times. Come to the 10:45 service sometime, and when we're trying to decide whether we should stand and worship for some songs or not, one person just takes one, then everyone else goes. There's a YouTube video, if you like to watch YouTube videos to have a point of reference of, there's a television show called Brain Games where they study different things, and they studied how standing can be contagious because of a social principle. And there's this poor woman in this waiting room that there's this buzzer that goes off. And every time the buzzer goes off, everyone in the waiting room stands up. And she's like, "What are they doing?" And sure enough, in time, every time the buzzer goes off, the woman starts to stand. And then slowly but surely, they remove these people out of the waiting room. So it's just this one woman, and this buzzer goes off, and she stands up. And then new people enter into the waiting room, and she still stands up. And by the end of the little clip that they're doing, everyone new is standing. And everyone that originally knew the plan isn't even there. So things that aren't necessarily negative can be contagious. Laughter, standing. But another component of that word contagious is not just that something is spreadable, but that it's communicated by contact. And that's really important for us today, to realize that something contagious is communicated by contact. We don't just laugh because we know that somebody else once laughed at that joke. We laugh because we're with that person who's laughing. That woman started standing just because she read a pamphlet or a sign in the waiting room that told her she should. It's because she was in contact with other people, in close proximity of others who were standing. Think back to the time and the age before the vaccination for chickenpox, right? That was something where close proximity was important, that contact with another was needed in order to get the chickenpox. And because of its contagious nature, you opted to try to deal with it on your own timing. And so if it was suitable to your household and the schedule and your mom heard that somebody down the street had chickenpox, you had an oh-so-timely plane date down at their house just so that you could get it. Contact was necessary for it to spread. And so our passage this morning that we read out of Ephesians, and it was chapter 4, 17 through 24, it is a passage about contact. The contagious nature of things that we align ourselves closely with. The author in this letter is trying really hard to help his readers realize who they are now because of the contact that they have with God. If they continue to align themselves with their old lives, their time, their energy, their whole being with that former way of living, it's said in verse 18, they are disconnected from God's life because of their ignorance and their closed hearts. And I want to share that verse also in the Message translation. I'm a fan of the Message translation, probably from working with students, and it's such a contemporary language that it's helpful that when you read something, to read it again that way. And the Message says this regarding verse 18. They've refused for so long to deal with God, or maybe have contact with God, that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. So the one to whom they should be connected to, they are not. And that's what is trying to be explained in this passage in Ephesians. What's interesting is that word in the Greek for disconnected, it means to be estranged from or to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy. And that's what the author is trying really hard to help us not do. To not grow estranged from God. To not miss out on the fellowship and intimacy. Because the reality is, when we are closely aligned with something, we are likely to catch the cold. The one whom we want to be lingering that close to, the one whom we should be having those oh-so-timely play dates with, should be Jesus himself. Because he has a contagious life that we need to start reflecting. The passage we read seems to be anticipating a verse that comes a little bit later in the book of Ephesians. The next chapter, chapter 5, starts like this. It says, therefore, imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. He was a sacrificial offering that smelled sweet to God. We're supposed to imitate him. And yet to be able to follow his example, we need to have close contact. That's how we learn not just the big picture of how to have Christ-like living, but it's how we also learn those subtle nuances that make Christ so positively contagious to those who have not yet met him. Again, I want to read that same passage, but to hear it in the Message. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Watch what God does, and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Well, we can't watch, we can't keep company, and we can't observe if we're not in close contact with him. And so Initially, when I read again that title, Contagious Life, I was trying to think of where we should go, what God might want to teach us about this theme. And I kept thinking about how, you know, first off, it doesn't have to just be negative, but then I thought how we are the ones who are supposed to be contagious, right? That we're supposed to have a contagious faith so that others come to know Jesus. That we're supposed to live in such a way through our contact, people will come to experience Christ Jesus, a Savior who brings wholeness, identity, and purpose to a person who can feel lost, who can feel broken or uninspired. And yet, I didn't want to necessarily sit there, but I kept thinking about it a little longer, and it also made me think of a quote you're probably familiar with, and it's attributed to St. Francis, where it says that we should preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. The idea that our life will be so contagious that others near us, not through our words, but entirely just through our actions, will know Jesus. And yet, more often than not, and I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure others could probably attest to this too, that quote often gives an excuse to sometimes just be a good person without giving or offering a hint to a person that it's Jesus who has actually transformed me. And Jenna, I loved Sunday school last week. If you guys haven't been to Sunday school, it's been a real blessing this summer. And Jenna Mingle, who's home from after being overseas as a missionary, she was sharing. And she was at the table I was at. And she shared a story that struck me while I was thinking about this. And she shared about how she had a friend. And I won't even try the name Jenna because I don't even know. But you were telling us how, you know, it's a friend who kept wanting to hang out with her and her other believers because they were joyful and positive. And that friend, when they hadn't spent time with Jenna and the others, had said, "Wow, I need to spend time with you because I'm not as happy when I'm not with you." And then Jenna said something that I think pulls us where we need to go, where she said, we finally had to say to her, "Hey, like, we might be positive and encouraging, but we need to tell you that it's Jesus. It's not us." And so she stepped beyond that St. Francis quote to recognize that we need to point people to Jesus, the one who truly has the contagious life. And so that is where I want to sit and where I want to challenge us this morning, to not necessarily think about our contagious life, that when we are to live in contact of others, that they'll know Jesus, but I want us to think about the contagious life of Jesus Christ, the life that we should be drawn towards, because without that, without the contact we have with Jesus, we don't have a contagious life to offer others. We just have our old self estranged from God. Previous to the verses that I read in Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, are the verses that precede that. And again, in the Message translation, it says, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. And then here's where it really emphasizes that contact. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Jesus is our contagious Savior. Are we running towards Him for that close contact? Or are we maybe wiping, washing our hands, making sure we don't catch what He has? And based on the songs we sang this morning, I sure hope it's the running towards Him. Because if somebody is that faithful, that strong of tower, that great, then yeah, He's the one I want to be in contact with. And that's my hope and prayer for all of us this morning, is that His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love, having a contagious life. And so to kind of bring you and give you some images to leave with today. There were two things that struck me when I thought about something being contagious, and I want to offer them as we move towards a close. Are two things, one being rhythm and one being fire. Did you know that rhythms are contagious? You might not think so if you've ever sat next to me and listened to me try to clap, because you'll be like, Lisa, no one is catching on to that rhythm that you're doing right now. But indeed, rhythms are contagious, and they do some really interesting studies and things about rhythms. Crickets, if you've ever heard the like lovely peaceful sounds of crickets in a summer night, that they all kind of sound like they're chirping as one, it's because if they spend enough time in a radius near each other, they begin chirping like one, because it's contagious. There's a part in Southeast Asia where male fireflies will sit in this one tree, and if they're all there, their flashes actually synchronize together, and it becomes so bright that it can actually be seen from quite some distance away. Another interesting one that I just couldn't believe, and I had to read a little bit more to figure out how it does it, is that pendulum clocks, if you have multiple in one room, they'll actually join together in motion, which is crazy, but apparently it has something to do with the vibrations and the walls, that they slowly will join together because their rhythm is contagious. Breathing while we sleep is actually contagious. If you've ever had to sleep next to somebody who's a snorer, and particularly one who has no rhythm to their snores, there's actually reason for why that's so bothersome, and it's because our breath tries to get in sync with others near us, and a snore that is so, like, just outlandish, it will wake you up, not just because it's loud, but because your body is actually struggling to follow its rhythm. But I think most interesting of all the studies I looked at when it comes to rhythm is that of the heartbeat of people who are in relationship with one another. There's the phrase, two hearts beating at one. And you hear it and you're like, eh. Like, but no, there's actually, somebody said it not just to be like all cutesy, that there's reason to it. Two hearts beating at one. They did a study where they had people who were in relationship with one another sit across from one another and to stare longingly into each other's eyes. They could not actually have physical contact, and they didn't speak, but they had heart rate rhythm things on them, and they found that over time their hearts started beating together. Their breath actually started going together. And they did it to double check. They actually switched up the couples and had people who were not together in a relationship, and found that that was not the case if it was somebody who they were not in relationship with. And so the results of that study suggested that among people who share deep emotional attachment, they tend to share psychological states while in each other's presence. And so do we match the rhythm of God's heartbeat? It's contagious, but we have to be in his contact. We have to be in proximity of him. It's fun that the word Holy Spirit, the word Spirit actually means breath, which is neat to think that not only God's heartbeat, but truly his breath is something that he tries to give to us so that we can be in sync with him. So to be contagious, to have a contagious life, we first must catch the rhythm of the heart to the one who we are trying to image. If we are to be Christ-like in our words, our thoughts, our actions, and our whole being, then this new self needs to be in close proximity with God, in range of that which is contagious, and to see as Christ sees, to love as Christ loved, to make decision with his wisdom. And yet that rhythm will only come through contact. And what's great is that we don't have to strive hard to have that contact. I love the story of Moses with the burning bush, because a lot of times when we want contact with God, we think like, oh, if I could just have a burning bush moment, that would be really helpful, because no way I'm going to ignore your presence if there's a bush and it's on fire. But yet what's really interesting about that story is that he encounters that burning bush when he is out watching sheep. Like us going to a grocery store or maybe dropping kids off at a soccer game. In the ordinary act of his life, his work day is when he encountered God. And so God often tries to interact with us in the ordinary. We don't have to create these fantastic moments or just go from Sunday to Sunday or big event to think that we'll encounter God and be able to be impacted by his contagious life. We just need to keep our eyes open each and every day. The presence of God throughout our day will draw us into his presence and align us to his heartbeat. And only then will we be able to lead contagious lives. And so the other thing outside of rhythm was fire, because fire is also very contagious. And when I was thinking of Moses in that burning bush moment, it kind of took me instantly to fire. And God is described as many things, but fire is one such attribute that he's given. That's why the United Methodist symbol has like a little flame, because it represents the Holy Spirit, which showed itself as a flame or fire on the day of Pentecost. And fire, in the line of thinking of something being contagious, is something that ignites and is something that spreads when it comes in contact with stuff. And so we need to remember, though, that when it comes to our contagious life, we don't set ourselves on fire. God is the fire starter. And we don't ignite others' lives either. That can be a lot of pressure if we think that we just need to go around thinking, well, I'm gonna make them know who Jesus is because he's awesome, so they should, right? But to realize, no, God is the flame. He is the one with the contagious life that is able to spread. And there's a quote, and this like is kind of controversial as to whether he says it or not, but John Wesley was attributed to it, and he said that if I set myself on fire, people will come to watch me burn. And whether or not he said it or not, the point of the quote is that a life that has been ignited by God will draw others in because it's contagious to them. And so, that's what we're striving for. But we first have to be ignited. We have to be near the one who is the fire starter. And fire, though, does not go unattended. We have Impact coming up, and at Impact, one of the big things is getting our fire started and making sure it lasts. And so fire has to be tended to. It will not spread if it is not tended to. And so, tinder, right? The stuff that you have to put into it to make sure that it keeps going. We need to make sure that we're staying close to God. Imagine you, yourself as that tinder, going close to the flame that will ignite you. Otherwise, you'll just stay as tinder, dried brush off to the side. And what's interesting, too, if you need that fire and that tinder to really get going, what do? We're the Boy Scouts among us. You blow on it, right? You get down, not too close because then the ashes come back up at you, but you get down and you go, and you keep blowing on it. Because even if you put the tinder in and the flame is there, if you don't let air or breath or wind or something help stir it, it also will go down. And so, yes, God is the fire starter, and we need to be close enough to let him ignite us, but we also need to stay close enough to let him keep breathing on us, because otherwise that fire will go out. And we also need to realize that with fire, another thing that threatens it going out is the lack of substance, right? If you don't start adding some bigger pieces of wood at some point in time, it will also go out. And it won't catch the flame or the capacity to which it could exist as a fire. And in the same way, I think some of us might be there where we need to remember that we need to take those steps to let God put more onto that fire. That if we're going to have that contagious life that draws others towards him, then we need to let there be some more substance placed on that fire. So maybe it's that you step out and you serve in a new way. Maybe it's that you take a Bible study that stretches you or challenges you more than you realized. But what is it that can add more substance to that fire? And then also fire, a lot of times when you want to get it started quick, you throw gasoline on it, right? Because that's easier when you're, yeah, Tom's like, please don't do that, Lisa. Don't worry, we don't bring gasoline to impact. But what's interesting is it will start it up quick, right? But a fire cannot be sustained with just gasoline alone. It won't last. And yet, more often than not, when it comes to our close contact with God, we think of it like gasoline. Sunday morning, poof. Next Sunday morning, poof. Or with students in our youth department, a lot of times it's a mission trip, poof. Impact, poof. But we forget that there needs to be that constant contact, that blowing of God's breath upon the fire in order for it to sustain itself and to grow in such a way to be contagious to others. We have the potential to burst into flames because we allow God to prod us into the center of that fire. The center of who he is will help us know who we are, and in turn, others will come to know him. And so we must remain close to that flame in the right conditions to have flammable faith. And we need to stay connected to God to have our hearts be set afire by him, capable then of spreading it to others. We were made to have that contagious life, one in which others are drawn to Jesus because of our close proximity to the Lord of all life. And so, whether it be the rhythm of God's breath or the igniting and all-consuming power of God's presence, that is where we must give our attention to. Rhythm and fire. Our lives will be contagious to others only when we have close contact with the one who has the most contagious life of all. Amen.